and welcome to In-Game Chats for Saturday, May 21st, 2016. It's Season 10, Episode 21. I'm having some headphone issues right now. You guys can hear me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I cannot hear myself in my headphones. I hear the music playing, but I can't hear myself.
It happened to me last week.
So I don't know why that is.
I had to play with it.
I'm doing that, and it's weird. I cannot hear myself. I can hear me, but not through my headphones.
You're not getting a full connection?
No, but I can hear the music fine.
Wasn't this some new folks in last week?
No, I'm borrowing somebody's headphones today. Let me get through the introduction real quick,
yes,
and we'll talk about this. What is this? Season 10, Episode 21. I'm Scott.
I'm RJ.
And I'm Nathan.
I can hear you guys fine. I sound like I'm in a...
That's all you need to hear.
...barrel of some sort. I'm talking through a wall. That's what I sound like. That's a lot better, actually. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. 334-272-9228. Check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at InGameChat. You can also find us on Facebook. You can email us, everyone, at InGameChat.net. We are streaming right now on Twitch. Head over to Twitch.tv and search for InGameChat up at the top. Just search there. You'll find us. You can watch us live while we broadcast. You can also chat in the chat room, which is what you do, with everybody else who's hanging out there and watching the show as well live while we broadcast. So, Matt is not here with us today. He'll probably be back next week. More than likely. But my headphone issue, and this is just a little side thing, which is, you know, normal for us to kind of go off in a tangent. Mine on Friday morning, I was sitting where Nate was doing the morning show, Friday morning, and something about the left side, this is really weird. Something about the left side of the... If we get a call, I'll deal with it. But right now, screw that. Because I can't... Sounds weird. Something about the left ear on the headphones felt strange. It was doing something. And eventually, I looked at it, and I noticed there was a tiny piece, very tiny piece, that was all kind of wobbly and stuff. And eventually, it broke off. And basically, it kept... you see how they're curved in?
Mm-hmm.
See how they're curved inwards? It kept these, they're on a swivel right here,
mm-hmm.
and it kept them from going back any further than kind of hugging your head like this. And so those broke. And so when they were on my head, I have to hold the left ear.
How old were they?
I bought them in 2013.
Okay.
Black Friday sale.
Okay.
On Amazon. So they were, what is that, 3 years old? Which is a good run for some headphones. Should have lasted a little bit longer. And honestly, they're perfectly fine, except for that really small... That's what I hate about it. Like, there's other things that could have broken on that thing that probably wouldn't render them annoying. They're not technically useless, but to hold the left ear up
good
every
backups.
Time I do this is really annoying. I'll keep them around for backups. Just, you know, for whatever reason, mm-hmm. emergency needs or something like that, if, you know.
So you had to do it like DJ style?
Well, yeah, hold the air. Yeah, I know. So I was downstairs doing work earlier, and it's like, oh, this is so annoying to have to do. And I was like, I don't think I'm going to do this during the show today because it's going to be very annoying to sit there the entire time holding this up. Although this is very annoying right now, not being able to hear myself or anything like that. So I'm just going to take them off, not worry about it. So, yeah, I've got a new pair coming in. Should arrive tomorrow sometime. So, was something else that was in the news. Yeah, just real quick, the hits on this. We were talking about this earlier, was that Alan Young had passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Most people, if you ask them or tell them that guy's name, most people are going to say it was the Mr. Ed guy. Wilbur from Mr. Ed. Not the horse, but the guy. Interestingly enough, I and a lot of gamers and a lot of people my age and younger... most likely, will know him as the voice of Scrooge McDuck from DuckTales, and from DuckTales the movie, and from pretty much any thing that Scrooge has ever been in, animated or whatever, it has been Alan Young providing the voice. He was 90-something, I believe, when he passed away. And I tried really hard.
96, by the way.
96, yeah. I tried very hard back when DuckTales Remastered was getting released to get him on the phone for an interview. Pre-recorded live, I didn't care. This was... Not only was DuckTales the game for the NES, something that was big for me when I was growing up. DuckTales the show, good God. That's huge for me. That, Batman the Animated Series, even that whole Disney block that they had back then, it was like Tailspin and DuckTales and Darkwing, you know. Mm-hmm. That whole block.
I forgot about Darkwing.
Yeah, yeah. Don't ever forget about Darkwing. that whole block was just an immense part of like my afternoons and stuff. And then Batman and then Tiny Toons and then Animaniacs and stuff like that all wrap up into one. And I'm really, really, there are people out there being like, this guy's a gigantic nerd. Well, yeah, I'm on the radio doing a show about video games, so of course. But to have, I was going to try and have him on. I reached out to him. I spoke to his wife, not on the phone, just through email conversations, because she was going to set up the whole thing. And she had asked, she said, you know, I don't think he'll want to do it, but I will ask him. And she came back a couple of days later and said, he's just not feeling up to it. He really appreciates it, but he's not feeling up to it. But thank you anyway. So, and I was, you know, I wrote back and I said, you know, I certainly understand that. And I really appreciate you guys just even giving us consideration to do this. I mean, what are we, you know, to get that
speak kind for yourself.
Of, yeah, well.
I got 30 followers.
Yeah. So to have that was just to have her give the consideration. And maybe she did nothing but like, you know, Siri, remind me to write back this guy, a rejection letter. Within a day or something like that. She may not have done anything, but it doesn't matter. So
it was actually already scheduled to shoot out 2 days
Yeah,
later.
I really, really wanted to have him on. I reached out to the guy who does Launchpad's voice and got a reply back. Everybody that I reached out to replied back, but were not able to do an interview. And so
just weren't quite big enough.
Yeah, gave it a try. Didn't work, but that's whatever. So I still enjoyed the game. He did the voice work for the remastered version. Mm-hmm. In fact, all the original voices.
Yeah.
The lady who did Magicka Dispel is very, very old, if not already passed. I do not know, but you could hear the age in the voice. You could, which is not necessarily a bad thing. Scrooge is an old guy anyway, you know.
Yeah.
So it kind of worked on his level, but you were still missing that. You're missing whatever it had from the old animated shows. And I think they're redoing DuckTales now. I think they've got another DuckTales that they're going to be going into production for. Disney is, I believe. Mm-hmm. Not a game, but an animated series.
Yep, 2017 DuckTales reboot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So okay. Something new there. I knew they were never going to get... The great thing about voices that you can't get with actors... is mimics. There are tons of people out there who can mimic voices.
June Foray, by the way. Magicka Dispel.
Yes, that's who that was. Yeah. How old is she?
98, but didn't say she's passed on yet.
No. I wasn't sure. I didn't think she had.
Yeah.
At the time I was trying to get in touch with her, mm-hmm. she was obviously still around, and I didn't know if in that time period if she had made maybe passed and I hadn't heard the story. So
yeah. Born September 18th, 1917.
Yeah. But the great thing about voice actors is that you've got mimics out there. You got people who can do their own spin on it and have a little bit from somebody else's performance and a little bit of their own. And my best example of this right now at the top of my head goes to Batman Arkham Origins. And now I'm drawing a blank on Batman's voice actor.
Kevin Conroy?
Kevin Conroy. Yeah. Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill did not do Batman Arkham Origins. They did not do Arkham Origins. And I want to talk about, by the way, that Arkham set that is getting released. remind me to do that, because you know how I will just kind of go off. They did not do the voice work for Joker or for Batman. Roger Craig Smith, I think, did the Batman voice, and Troy Baker did Joker's voice. Troy Baker was just doing an impression of Mark Hamill doing a Joker voice. And he did it fine. He did it exemplary, actually. It was very well done. If there was really, I mean, we knew it going into it because we had followed the development of the game. So we knew that he wasn't doing it, but if you hadn't have told me that, I wouldn't have known. There may have been some slight situations where I thought, it doesn't sound like Hamill, but for the most part, it's like, that's really good. And if you told me that's not Mark Hamill, I'd have said, well, that's somebody doing a very good Mark Hamill impression. And to know that it was Troy Baker on top of that, that guy is one talented, talented voice actor. He has played so many different roles, and they all are. I think all voice actors really have a lot of talent, because that's your bread and butter is not being the same voice every time.
Right.
You've got to have versatility in your voice to cover a gamut of characters so that you can have the most opportunities to do that sort of thing. So, yeah, really, really talented. And Roger Craig Smith, while he didn't do a mimic of Kevin Conroy doing Batman, he was really good. I mean, I did not... Going into it, there's a lot of people who, I could show you threads of when that game was announced, a lot of people being like, no Kevin Conroy, no Mark Hamill, no bye. Like, you're really going to skip a game because of what, and that same thing happened with Metal Gear Solid 5. Whenever they said that names are really, I'm having a really big problem with names today. Because I am forgetting who his name is. That voice Kiefer. Snake. No, Kiefer is the... They were like, I'm not going to get it because Kiefer Sutherland. It's not... It was on our show. Good God. David Hayter. Oh, yeah. There it is. Man. Those of you watching on the camera can just stare and look and watch the gears just going.
Well, real quick, just on the topic of voice actors and stuff. That's why I loved watching that movie, I Know That Voice.
I need to see that. There's a couple of those. Goodness. There's that one and Inner World, and I haven't watched either of those.
Well, and that one, the one on Netflix, I Know That Voice, that came out in like 2013, I think, and great, great, just because it's all the current cartoons and stuff, including like DuckTales and stuff like that, all those shows up until now, and you know, it's great to see all of those actors and stuff doing, you know, what they can do to change their voice, to create that role, to act as that new character and stuff.
Yeah,
and you know, it's super cool to see
watching
that world.
Voice actors is the really good ones. It's very fascinating to see them do, especially if they're doing dual roles, and so they're reading for two characters. It's unreal. You get that a lot from the folks in Futurama and stuff, because I think Billy West does a fantastic job of, again, versatility, being many different voices on that show. Simpsons is another one where you've got.
Yeah.
A small cast of voice actors, but a large cast of characters. And so they do multiple voices.
Yeah.
So Simpsons is another great example of that. But going back to the whole mimicky thing, I never could understand when people would base their buying decision on the fact that the voice actor was not in it. That the voice actor who'd been doing it for so long was not going to be in this one, so I'm not going to play your game.
Missing out.
I really feel that way. Although I'm trying to put myself in a position of where would it affect me. And I'm thinking, and I'm jumping straight because I just finished playing it. I'm jumping straight to Uncharted with Nolan North, and I don't want to say that his voice embodies that character because I don't ever want to be put in that position to think I'm not going to play that because that just off the top of my head, that sounds dumb to me. It sounds dumb that you would skip out on something because of that. And I guess there's a personal attachment to things and that sort of stuff, that you've got personal preferences, that if it's not that way, I just don't feel like I'll enjoy it as much. But I wouldn't say completely skip it. I'd say give it a shot if it doesn't, you know, if your theory holds true and it just does not fit for you, then fine. Skip it. Take the rental back. Do whatever. If not, it's going to be a nice surprise, and you get a game out of it. You get something to enjoy, a game, a movie, something like that, depending on what it is. So the other way that this has been a good example is the DC animated movies that they keep releasing. Every time there's a Batman involvement or a Joker involvement, I think one of the first things that people do is fans, they run to the cast list and they're like, you got Kevin in this one for Batman? Nope, you got somebody else. It doesn't stop them from watching it because they've mixed it up so many times now. They've gotten so many different voice actors for Batman in the animated stuff that I don't even expect it. Every time they announce one, I wonder who it is because I know it's not going to be Kevin because they hardly ever stick with the same person twice. Some of the more iconic things, just like Killing Joke that's getting released in August, they went back to Kevin and Mark to do Batman and Joker. Just, you know, probably because of the story that's there and
I figured that'd be a signature, but that's a signature
You
title.
Know, it's one of those things. Yeah, it's one of those things and the familiarity of that. And you know, it also could be a marketing idea. You know, they also may look at it as like, you know, there's a lot of people who skip out on these things when we don't have, you know, Conroy and Hamill doing the voices. There's a lot of people who skip out on these things. So, you know, let's just to make this as successful as possible. Let's align as many stars as we can. And I don't mean stars as in celebrities, but, you know, just let's make it all work out and be do as much as we can to make this as successful as we can. And so that may be a thing as well. Do you see how I verge? Do you see how I move off of topics and go wherever? So be helpful if one of you just jump in and tell me to shut up.
So what did you play this week?
Good job. There you go. Uncharted 4. That's what I played.
Did you beat it?
Uncharted 4, and I beat Uncharted 4.
Cool.
I could spend some time talking about it.
Are you keeping it?
I didn't rent it.
So you bought it?
Oh, I bought it. Oh, okay. Yeah, you saw the Steelbook.
Okay, well, I just want to make sure.
Yeah.
I only asked that because I'm probably going to end up borrowing it from you.
Oh, yeah. Really? Are you going
to
borrow it?
Well, because this week I have to house sit.
Oh, okay.
And they don't have internet.
I wish you'd brought it up, man. I would have brought it to the show.
Well, the thing is I have to beat 2 and 3.
Oh, you still got, yeah.
So I have to beat the other half of 2. So that my goal this week is to beat 2, beat 3, and then by then.
Yeah. Okay, no. That's fine. So,
How many hours does it take to beat Uncharted, you think?
Uncharted 4?
Any of them, just average what?
Like, you know, I don't know.
I beat one in 12 hours. Mm-hmm. And that was with me collecting stuff.
Oh, okay.
But on average, I think it's 12 to 16 hours.
I was going to say, there's a statistics page in Uncharted 4. Mm-hmm. Either from the main menu, I think it's even from the pause menu. You can check your statistics, and they show you how much time you've spent playing. And I'm sitting for Uncharted 4... because I checked it, and I don't know if it counts. I don't know how it tallies that up. If you pause the game, does that count? Does the counter keep moving? Probably. If you mess around with photo mode, does that count? Does multiplayer factor in? Which I didn't do any of the multiplayer, so it's not going to show up there. Does watching the credits, does letting the credits roll, does that count towards gameplay time?
Unless I
don't
pause.
Know. Huh?
Pause.
Right, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it showed me at around 15 some odd hours, 15 hours and something minutes for Uncharted 4. So, and I did do a lot of exploring to look around for treasures and things like that. One of the interesting things is that Uncharted, for the most part, is very linear, and you can attest to that from playing through 1 and 2.
Half of 2.
Is that for the most part, when you get thrown into something, you'll know if you're about to have a gunfight because of the way that the landscape is built. It's like, oh, look, here's cover. I'm going to have to shoot. Or, oh, look, it's a big gap, and I'm going to have to cross that somehow and whatever. There's usually a straightforward path to get through any of it.
And it's a combination of puzzles, fight.
But when you come upon an area, you know that I'm going to have to fight my way through this. So straight shot through, or it's an environmental puzzle. I'm going to figure out how to get around it. Uncharted 4 that I know of, and I it's been a while since I played 1, 2, and 3. I haven't played 3 since the thing released, but there were multiple ways around the terrain. Like it would come up on a really, it would come up to a really big open area. I specifically remember one when you go to an old, like an old harbor town or whatever that has been, it's been overgrown and everything like that. And I started walking straight for the building that they pointed out to me when we came in upon the area. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, wait a second, let me look around here first. Let's see how big they made this. And it wasn't too big, but it was multi-tiered because you could go into all these little shacks and houses and they had like a couple of different floors. And then there's basements and things like that that you could get in. And it was all winded through. And I don't know. It's very hard to keep track of like where I'd been, where I'd already been through because they all interlocked. But it was just so wide open. I could have taken the direct path. There was even, I remember one of those buildings I went into and there was a prompt to have a conversation with Sam. And an entire cutscene broke out where they just sat in the chairs and talked about their journey so far. And you had some dialogue choices that you could make while you're talking to him. And I was like, wow, that's something I never would have noticed because I was just running straight through the building. So There were times that I veered around. Anytime I saw something that was sort of looked like it was off the beaten path, I would take it. Most times it did not give me anything. It came back to me to think, why did they design that if there was nothing there, you know? But they were just varying the landscape and giving you this area to explore. You didn't find anything, but a new way to go about getting to a different path to go about getting to the same place. Which, by the way, the level of detail in that area that I was in that I was just talking about was really, really good. Some of the environmental stuff that they had done for Uncharted 4 is really fantastic. Some of it, the open areas of Madagascar that you've seen in all the trailers or that you've seen in all some of the gameplay stuff is nice, but it's these, it was these heavily overgrown places or heavily busy areas that just had a lot of detail to the buildings and to the foliage and to
the one I saw that was pretty neat was the guy, it was like a hill and a guy. It was like, you know, like a loose rock that was sitting on the side of a hill, and he shot up to the top of it, and it made the top part kind of start to fall, and all the rocks would start to slide down, and they all pile at the bottom, which is...
Oh, I saw that, where he shot the thing, and he watched the physics explain, which I remember that area, but I didn't do anything about it. In fact, I got lost in that area, so I was like, I don't know where to go, and they said... and eventually, which was nice, because you had your character, you had your partner with you, you were hardly ever alone in this. And he's like, hey, Nate, over here. It took a while. And then I was like, oh, God, it's all the way over here. But the level of detail, and James brought it up, was Libertalia. The level of environmental detail in there was fantastic. Just really, really good. And, I mean, everything about this game visually was a step up, sometimes massively step up with the facial expressions and everything else during some of the cutscenes and things like that were fantastic. It was always that way.
Did it ever bog down your system?
No, never had a problem.
Smooth all the way?
Okay. Oh, God, yeah, completely smooth all the way. Never had a bug of any kind to report, never had something where I fell through the environment, never had a glitch of any kind. At all while I was playing this.
Nice.
It played completely smooth and no issues whatsoever. So apart from visually and technically, you know, it being a step up from everything before it, delivery and story, I don't know. We've talked about this before, and I'm hoping that I'm not. I know longtime listeners of the show will maybe think I'm being a little biased here, just for my because of who I know with Amy Hennig, who was working on this, and was abruptly let go from Naughty Dog in the middle of development on this. I say even in the middle; it was like at the beginning of development on this. And I don't know what story she had, I don't know what story she had in mind. I don't know where she was going with this whole thing. I don't know what of hers stayed in and what of hers didn't. To kind of go back through the news stories and look at everything that was said after they had let her go, it seems like everything about her ideas were completely scrapped, and it was basically development started completely over. Story-wise and stuff, I would imagine.
Isn't that typically what happens, though?
Well, not necessarily. It was all of that was property of Naughty Dog. Mm. And so they could easily just say, no, this is ours. You go away. Now, with Neil and Bruce taking over, the guys who did Last of Us, mm-hmm. and they also did work on the previous Uncharted. I don't think they did Uncharted 3 because they were working on Last of Us at the same time, but they did work on Uncharted 2. And in fact, we had both of them on during the release of Uncharted 1 back then. So they've had their hands in it, but they were given complete creative control over this once Amy had left. And I, you know, you get into creatives' minds, and a lot of them don't want to deal with somebody else's creative. They want their own.
Yeah.
They want everything that can be seen in what they make to say that that's mine, that's mine, that's mine, rather than somebody coming in and saying, nah, you barred from me here, you barred from me here, and you barred from me here. They don't necessarily want to do that. And so they will go back and scrap it all. And I'm sure they were given the option to, you know, use some of her stuff or move. And I don't know what stayed in, what didn't. I'm not sure. I haven't talked to Amy about it. I feel like it's a sore subject to bring up with her. Given how much of this series was hers, and it was hers. I really haven't jumped into the conversation with her lately. I did talk to her recently, but not about this. In fact, when the game released, I talked to her, actually, but we did not talk about this. I just sent her a text message and said, I hope you're doing well. Haven't heard from you in a while. Hope things are good. You know, and she responded back, and we talked about E3 and a couple of things. I never brought this up, and she never did either. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want to take that step and go into that conversation. Sorry, I just noticed that I don't have music to play us out. Here we go. So I would like to. I wish there was a way that I could jump into some parallel universe and play the game that she wanted to make. I wish there was a way to do that. I wish there was a way to get her to talk to her, and maybe one day there will be. I imagine she's probably still under a very large contract of you can never talk about your termination or the events that led into it or anything from that and where she probably won't be able to talk to me about any of it. Her ideas or anything like that. I know from talking, we know from interviewing her, or at least chatting with her during Uncharted 2 or Uncharted 3, because we had just, Crystal Skull had just come out. Mm-hmm. And we were all kind of like, and Superman Returns had released and stuff like that. And we were all like, they're shoehorning in these children of your heroes, you know, or they, you know, met a woman and had a kid. And it's sort of not working. It's not meshing very well. It's kind of screwing up the overall story. And she said herself narratively that, when you have stories such as what she's doing, that, it's not a good idea to introduce a kid. And, so there's an aspect that might be different. Spoilers, by the way. I don't think that's really a big spoiler, because I don't think it's a situation that, when it happened, it didn't shock me, didn't surprise me, felt very Last of Us, actually, at the thing. So, I'm reading. James is chatting in the chat room, and I'm kind of reading some of these. It's kind of like having him here, but not. There's a strong chance that she's too busy working on her Star Wars game to really care about Uncharted 4. And James says that he's actually more interested now what she has to say in the Star Wars universe than what she would have said in Uncharted. And I agree with her. I agree with James there. I'm very anxious to play her next title, which, as we know, is a Star Wars game, probably going to be announced at this year's E3. I've spent way too much long talking. We do have to hit these breaks. So when we come back, we'll get some more Uncharted 4 in there, because we're gonna hit the top of the hour. We're gonna go over what these two guys have played as well, and we can have your calls. 334-272-9228 is the number to get in touch with us. We'll be right back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Back to In-Game Chat. I'm fading out this music so that I can take these headphones off and not have to worry about them, because you know what? I'm going to have to put them back on if I go to the phones. Yeah. That was an experiment that did not work out too well. Anyway, welcome back to the show. People in the chat room were wondering what that was that had played that took us out. That was a track called Obsession in D Minor, which is from, as we found out, that was from Vigilante 8, because a lot of people were asking where that was from. Vigilante 8, which, incidentally, I remember Vigilante 8, and I know you could do this with a lot of PlayStation discs, but it was one where you could put the game in, start the game with it, take the disc out, put in your own music, and play the game while your own music played.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Vigilante 8 specifically being able to do that. So, anyway.
Some games you could put into a CD player.
And they would play the soundtrack?
Yep. Yeah, Saturn Games did that. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
That I did not know. Anyway, back to Uncharted 4. So, like, overall, you know, I'm glad it exists, and I'm glad it's there to play, but I hate when we have situations like this. And I think these situations exist in game development all the time. It's just, it's not as well known. One of the ones I remember is Bioshock Infinite showing off gameplay years ahead of its release, because it apparently went through some problems. But years ahead of its release, it was showing off gameplay, and things were different than the game that we got. There was a different, I don't necessarily know if there was a different story. I think some of the main parts of the story were there, but there was a different narrative being told in what we were shown than in what we got. And I kind of wish I could go back and have that development finish out and play what they were trying to do there. I kind of want the best of both worlds. Have my cake, eat it too, that sort of thing. Because the way that would work out is if it did flesh out that way and I was able to play that, but there was a hint of something else, then I would have wanted to see what that would have been. And that's what I got, and now I'm sitting there wishing, you know, that I could see what that was. Same thing with Uncharted 4. If I hate that it even happened, you know? Like, if she had been, if they had gone through their differences right after Uncharted 3 and
so the relationship, it could have repaired it.
Yeah, could have figured it. It's never, yeah, should have, could have, would have, right?
They were meant for each other.
Yeah, but if they had gotten through their situation right after Uncharted 3, before development of Uncharted 4 or even anything of Uncharted 4 had ever began, then I would have known, oh, we got this. And I probably still would have thought, well, I wonder how Amy would have done it. But the fact that Amy actually pretty much did it, I'm sure her layout of her story and everything of the way that was going to go was all complete while she was making the game. And to know that she had started on it, then it's like, I really wonder what her vision of this would have been. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of dwelling on something that you'll never really know. So might as well just look at what you've got and assess from there. And so in doing so, I can't separate her involvement with it. Mm-hmm. So I look at this and I have to compare it to 3 and I have to compare it to 2 and I have to compare it to 1. And, my main comparison there, while I would love to say would be, gameplay and set pieces and things like that, which there were some great ones here. My comparison immediately jumps into the dialogue. The character interactions and the written narrative, the written dialogue between the characters and stuff like that, because some of that I know is brought by the actors who do the voice work with it, and some of that I know is just her writing that goes with it. And there were a lot of beats that felt like they were being missed in some of the conversations, maybe in some of the story as well. Spoiler again, maybe, if you want it to be. 3 games in now, and we've had supernatural elements in every single one of them. 4th game, nothing. Never a supernatural element at all. You know? Mm. Indiana Jones has always had that sort of situation where there's always been, you know, the Ark of the Covenant when they release it, and then the ghosts and spirits and things run around. There's always been this basis of fact right up until almost the end, when it flips it over and says, here's your supernatural stuff. Here's your stuff that doesn't fit in with everything else that we've done, but it's ending our story. It's completing our narrative. And what, Temple of Doom had the same thing with the... he pulls his heart out and everything, and the guy's still alive.
Aztec ritual else. Type stuff, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Crystal Skull obviously had the aliens. You'd like to forget that. And Last Crusade.
Yeah.
Yeah, Last Crusade had, you know, the healing water of the Cup of Christ and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So there was always some kind of supernatural element to it, some kind of unrealistic thing, but that fits in all the other realism that's around it. Yeah. James says, supernatural is how Nate and Sam can grab onto a ledge 40 feet away from their swingy rope thing. Yeah, there's a weird, like, you'll swing the rope, and you're like, there's no way he's going to make this. And in his leap from letting go of the rope to moving to, it's like the piece of land moves, like, he doesn't move further towards it, but the land gets, it's, I mean, I'm sort of joking, but it's also a leap of faith that the player has to make in saying that, okay, yeah, he made that. Mm-hmm. Sure, he did. You know? I remember playing Last of Us, and somebody was watching me play through that entire game. And I remember a good ways into it, as I was playing, they looked at me and they said, that dude's knees are probably dust. because I crouched through the entire game almost, you know, completely in crouch mode every time you'd come up upon something and like, and here's Joel, you know, just crouching through everything, walking around crouching and everything. And it's like, oh God, the pain of his knees. Same thing with these guys, their fingers.
That's why in Last of Us, he had so many pills.
Yeah. The tips of their fingers, they must can, break bricks just with their, just like, just squeezing with their fingertips.
All I can picture is like they go to turn the doorknob and it just bends in.
Like they're, everything in their body's proportional except when it gets to like their hands and fingers. They're just these massive.
Because these a touch screen cracks through.
Cracks through, yeah. Just from the amount of ledge grabbing that they have done.
Snaps a mouse in half.
Yeah. Anyway, so. I liked it. I'm not in love with it. I guess if I'm going to put it in some sort of order there, it would probably go 2-3-4-1, I think. 3, actually. I really liked the ending of 3. Not in the big over... The ending for the characters in 3, not really the ending for the story. And the other lost city that was completely demolished after... Nathan Drake left the place. But yeah. This one was... Yeah. Again, I'm not in love with it. I've been in love with the previous ones, but I'm not really in love with this one. It's not bad. So please don't get me wrong in that. Mm-hmm. And it's not... It's not amazing, and it's not just good. It's, you know, it's better than good. I don't know if it's great, but it's, you know, it's not bad. So this is something in a series that's been massively successful, had a lot of hype with it. If you own a PlayStation, you own these games. Or if you own a PlayStation 3 or 4, you own these games pretty much.
And why so, is one last for you?
I don't, you know, I guess I would have to go back and play through these because I really haven't in a while. 2 obviously just stands out for the love that it got whenever it released and how much it's sort of, it kind of put Uncharted on the map for them with just how successful it was.
Yeah.
And I may just be going off of hindsight of that. And Uncharted 2 being the leader in that category would put that at 1. Uncharted 3 just being the follow-up to that, there was a lot of expectation of, like, hey, you're going to be able to do this again? You're going to be able to knock it out of the park again? And so it's sitting there. And Uncharted 1 kind of getting not as much level of hype just because it was the first. Which doesn't justify it being on the bottom of that. But I think that may be what I'm going off of here, especially since 4 was just the most recent one that I played, and I have not gone back and played through. I own the collection that you do, but I think I own that purely out of just being a fan more than anything else. Although after playing 4, I kind of, because of they kept talking and everything references the first 3, mm-hmm. and I was, you know, maybe I should go back and give those a shot again, especially with the upgraded stuff, just like you're doing. So possibility there as well. Let me put these on cause we're going to go to the phones here and I hope that I can, this is so weird. I cannot hear myself.
When do
you guys,
to me.
Thank you. I was going to say, when do you guys talk so I can make sure these things work at least?
Testing.
No. You're coming in loud and clear. I am not, I can't hear myself at all.
Can you hear me?
I sound like I'm behind a wall. This is annoying. Let's go to the phones and talk to Chris, who has been waiting very patiently. Thank you so much, Chris.
What's going on, y'all?
Oh, good. I can hear him. That's good.
That's good. A relief, isn't it?
Well, if I couldn't hear you, it was going to have to be, you're going to have to talk to RJ and Nate because that's how that
and
conversation.
And relay the conversation.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Translate. You could, sign language.
You could have a perfectly good conversation with the two of them. I don't have to be involved.
Well, I've been playing Uncharted for the collection, and I've got through one in about 44% through 2, where you get to the train station when you're heading to the train station.
Yeah, the old train station, yeah. the box art. Well, yeah, pretty much the box art, the whole selling point of the game, being that train sequence right there.
I'm a little bit past that.
But yeah, I'm going to go through the rest of the games before I get number four eventually down the road. But I've been looking forward to it as well. But you ever happen to remember what you wanted, what you were trying to remember about asking me 2 or 3 weeks ago about an anime or something like that?
Maybe yes. I don't know.
Oh well.
It's been plenty going on in between now and then. But I don't remember. But go ahead.
But yeah, it's something you wanted to ask me, but you couldn't remember at the time.
Oh yeah, yeah. No. That never came back to me. Whatever it was. That never came back. So
maybe one day.
Whatever. I'm old. If it's gone, it's gone.
And a couple years down the road, it'll pop up sometime down the road, I'm sure.
Yeah, once a thought is out there, I'm pretty much not getting it back at all. So, all right. What? Anything else you've been playing? You've been playing back through the Uncharted collection. Anything else you've been playing?
Other role-playing games stuff got on the TurboGrafx import system. I've been playing through that and got one of my other games in today, just a few minutes ago. Doing things like that and thinking about do y'all need any old display shelves down the road, because I'm going to redo my display collection and get some wall-mounted shelves, and I'm going to, I have no use for them. Any of y'all might want something like that?
It's possible.
I can take pictures and send it to you later on.
Take pictures and send it to everyone at In-Game Chat.
Yeah, send it to our email, everyone@ingamechat.net.
Okay.
And
just so we can all take a
look.
Yeah,
I just want to see. I want to see that. I don't necessarily know that I do, but there have been a couple of times where I'm like, boy, I should get something to put this stuff in, like my Myst stuff, all that, those things. Kind of. I used to have a really tall display case in my house. It was empty. It was my father's, actually. And I had plans for it, but never did anything with it. And it was one of those situations where one day I'm going to do this. And I would pass by, a year later and look at that thing and be like, all right, one day I'm gonna do this with that. And then a year would go, but whatever. It kept doing it. I never did anything. So finally, friend Mike, who's the big Star Wars collector guy, I did the Vader thing for his renewal of his vows. He said, there was some kind of trade that we made. We do this, and I'll take that off your hands, and I'll come and I'll get it. We'll take it all. And I said, it's been years, and I keep walking by that thing. It's likely I'm not going to do anything with it. So go ahead. So he took it. And I imagine the same thing will happen if I get these from Chris. I'll just keep walking by them and say, one day I'm going to do something with those, and I'll never get around to it. But I'd like to think that I wouldn't do that. But, hey, we appreciate it, Chris. Yeah, send us those pictures. We'll take a look at them, and thanks so much for calling.
All right, y'all have a good one.
You too.
Bye.
All right. With that, I can take these off again. Yeah, I was reading the chat room while we were talking to Chris there. James has reminded me that, the one is what showed off the way that we wanted every single game like it, or even not, to handle their characters, handle their voice acting, and their voice syncing. Because I remember how impressed and surprised we were just on that first. It sticks out to me. That first thing, you're floating underwater and you come up, and there's Nate and Elena opening up the coffin for Drake, and they're moving in these fluid motions and they're talking, and they've got these characteristics about them that just look so natural that we had never seen before. Everything before that was stiff and stilty, and the voices didn't match up with the way the characters were acting or looking or what they were doing. And we never knew of any other way, so we didn't know to really complain about it before then. But when we saw what they could do, which is basically we're going to record the mocap and the voice acting at the same time, that was their secret sauce. That was the secret ingredient to the whole thing. Was that you record the voice actors and the mocap at the same time, and you get results like this. And I remember us being very, very impressed and very just overblown by how that was done and how good it looked. I'd completely forgotten that I forget that it set the standard for there is no 2, 3, or 4 without 1. and that it set the standard for what they would be. So two had to be better than one, and three had to meet or exceed two, at least to most people's ideas, and definitely suits and stuff. They wanted that to be successful. And then same thing, three had to be better, and four had to be better than that, or something like that. Just go bigger, go bigger, go bigger. And it seemed like they were doing that with a lot of technical things. You know, two had the set pieces that we didn't have in one, with the train and that thing where the truck follows him down the stairs in the old beat up city and stuff, kind of like the truck does in four. And three showed off what they could do with sand. The technical stuff they could do with sand. Two also showed off the technical stuff they could do with snow. And three was trying to show off stuff they did with sand and stuff they did with water with the big cruise ship set piece when it turns over and starts sinking. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of like step ups and like how they were improving upon what they had done before and finding something else that could be a challenge for them to find a way to make it work. Which is interesting because the water effects in 3 were fantastic for that sequence. And James pointed out some of the water effects in 4 at the beginning weren't as good. And I remember jumping in the water in one of them in 4, in one of the sections of jumping in the water. And I was like, this water does not look like it should look on Uncharted on a PS4 title. It looked very low scale, downgraded, the water did. And I don't know if that's because they were mixing it with player interaction, and that the player was going to get out there in it, and it couldn't just be something that would be that could be shown to the player instead of interacting with. And I'm not exactly sure how that worked, but it didn't look that great. So on that aspect of it, anyway, we need to take a break again. And when we come back, that is it for the Uncharted talk. I've spent way too much time doing it. When we come back, we're going to talk to RJ. We're going to talk to Nate about what they've been playing. And we'll hit some new stuff here that I've taken down. And we'll get GT South on the phone as well, find out what's going on there this weekend and next weekend with them. All coming up next right here on In-Game Chat. I can tell you what music's coming up next. You likely know it, though, so I won't tell you, and you can just enjoy it. We'll be right back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Thank you. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. I can't hear a thing. I'm glad this music bed's short. I can't hear a thing. That was Bionic Commando Rearmed, what you were listening to there. And headphones having issues. Anyway, welcome back to the show. I'm Scott. We've got RJ and Nate. Matt is not here with us today. Should be back to next week. Let's go over what you guys played. I want to be done with my Uncharted talk, although James brought something else up that I do remember specifically saying about that, and it had to do with
Uncharted 1.
Yeah, the quote was that these are people that you really want to spend time with. And that has to do with how well they did the animations and the voice syncing, but also how well they had written the dialogue for these characters, especially in Uncharted 1 when you had no preconceptions about how these people interacted with each other or knew their traits and knew their the way that they operate. So that was very important. Anyway, onward to RJ. What have you been playing?
Same thing I've been playing for the last few weeks, man. I'm still
same
playing
thing we do every night, yeah. Pinky. Play yeah. Dark Souls 3.
Yeah, still playing Dark Souls 3, man. I'm on my third playthrough with my main character, and I'm in my first playthrough with my other three. So I'm still going to be
when does it end?
Well, when I can't do anything else in there.
Okay.
Which is going to be a minute.
We talked about this. Yeah. You're not always this thorough with every game that you own, right?
No, just the ones that I really enjoy.
The ones
that'll make me forget the rest of the video game world for the next month or two.
There's a certain series that you do this with.
Yeah.
Or certain types of games that you do this with. It's not every single one that RJ owns.
It's just in this case with Dark Souls, I haven't done this before, but I wanted to learn with my main character, since he's a cleric, using miracles.
Yeah.
So I wanted to see if I can get all the miracles that I could with them, but that involves doing a lot of side missions and things for covenants, getting items that will boost my ranking in them to get them. So I've been doing that, and as usual, helping some friends of mine get through areas that they need help getting through. So other than that, it's still going to be more Dark Souls until I get everything I want to get done.
And that's all you've been playing, huh?
That's all I've been playing this week.
Man, any tournaments or anything coming up?
Not to my knowledge. I haven't heard any that I'll be going to. I mean, there's probably some going.
I know there's some going on. I just know if there's any that you might be looking to attend.
Mm-mm. Until September, they probably have something at AWA for the tournaments there.
No Evo for you, huh?
No. Still no word on Evo. Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, probably not. No. All right. Well, that's really quick. But Nate, what about you?
Well, I've been playing games that have been chuck full of dialogue, character, action, you know, Papers, Please.
Yeah.
And Battlefield 4 has been the main two, which I really wish I could get someone else to play with me on Battlefield 4.
Jump back into that, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's a fun shooter. And plus, you're getting all the free DLC.
You were around while he was active, but I haven't seen a Bakov fan forever.
I see him on Twitter.
That guy played some Battlefield 4.
Yeah, he did.
He played some Battlefield. And, so he'd be somebody that you could play Battlefield.
I think I'm friends with him on Origin.
You probably are, and I don't know if he's been playing. Like I said, I haven't seen him in forever, so I don't know what he's doing now, but yeah.
It's such a clean shooter. Yeah, they did a good job on towards the end. You know, the beginning of them where it was rough, but it's a real good shooter. I was having fun with it. The map I was playing was 32 versus 32, but it was in a 16-man map. I just was like, you know what? I just want chaos. Like, I just want everything to be blown.
That actually sounds like
there's
fun,
no
really.
There's nowhere to hide.
It was
horrible. Like, as long as you're not taking it seriously and really trying to rank up and stuff,
I did not
be like, let's find something crazy to do. Let's put 64 men in a 16-player map.
I never looked at my KD the entire time.
Of course,
I just was like, you know what? And the thing was, is I actually won us the game because we were stuck outside. We couldn't get inside the building.
Were there vehicles on this 16-player map?
No,
oh
just,
God,
just,
we should. You should
what it was
to
is
put those in there.
What it was is
just
the,
mow people down.
It's this outside map, okay, and you're working. It's within a mountain, so you're on the outside of the mountain or the inside. There's three tunnels.
Yeah.
Well, you can't get inside if you're on the outside unless you have a smart team on how to do it. So I was like, why is everyone just throwing grenades? I'm just throwing smoke grenades, because you get 3 smoke grenades. So the whole time, I just kept chucking smoke grenades, which completely blinded everybody.
Yeah.
Which was the only way we were able to get inside. And then once we got inside, we completely took over the map, and then it went downhill from there. But I was like, why did no one else think to throw smoke grenades? Like, that was my initial thought. I was like, we're just staring at each other. This is pointless. You need some sort of cover.
Man, I bet the opening match grenade lob was probably like... the arrows from 300 just blocking.
It was to the point. It was to the point where the opening was just RPGs getting shot into the tunnel. That's how it started. And I was like, "Oh no, I picked a good server for this one." It was horrible. I think average everyone had about 30 kills and about 70 deaths. Mm. No one had more kills than deaths. It was horrible.
No friendly fire in this?
No.
If there was friendly fire.
And it was also great because you could just throw ammo packs and you were just racking up points because people were just chucking grenades and stuff.
Yeah.
It was really fun. Which is why I was like, I wish I had someone here with me because this would have been hilarious.
No kidding. You should stream that.
I should. I'll probably actually do that sometime this week.
Yeah.
And STM Fuller, yes, I am playing on PC. I'll send you my info in a little bit here. And then just a little bit of Hearthstone, but I don't know why I jumped into Papers, Please again. That game's always just fun when you just want to goof around.
I played that game like an idiot.
Like an idiot?
Oh, yeah, no.
Meaning you didn't know what to do?
I totally missed the point of that whole thing.
Oh, that's a fun game.
You let a whole bunch of folks get in that shouldn't have?
No. We talked about it on the show, and I was like, no, I kept doing this, and then it's like, no, that's not how it works. You're supposed to... And I can't remember what it was, but it was a really stupid mistake. I was taking the game like completely at face value as far as the end of the game being the end, and not doing whatever it was you're supposed to do once it ended and keep playing and stuff. I can't remember what it was, but I was doing it completely wrong. So yeah, that's one I could go back to. James is probably still in the chat room, and I'm sure. This guy has a steel trap of a mind when it comes to your failures. And so I'm sure he remembers precisely what it was I was doing wrong in consideration of that. I wish I could say I've been playing Doom. Me and James were talking about syncing up our computers again so that we could do the family sharing program. Because I know I've got plenty of games that he could dip into every now and again. And he's got a few that he'll jump into. Honestly, if we're smart enough, we should have done it since he got... Wolf, whenever Bethesda released it back in 2014, I should have gotten Doom, and then we could have done the trade-off again and just flip-flop back and forth. You get the game this month's game is yours. You get that one. I'll do the family share on your PC for it. Next month, you grab this game, and I'll do the family share on that one. So, but yeah, we were talking about maybe hooking that back up. He thinks his upgrade to Windows 10 might have... undid all
I've never
work.
Gotten it to work successfully.
We
I
got it to
had
work.
Issues.
We actually got it to work, and then at some point...
Well, I did get it to work. It just always failed after a week.
Yeah, at some point it stopped working for us. And I can't remember why. Yeah, I've still got like 5 of his games installed on my PC.
Oh, wow.
It still shows when I go up to my library. I think it may. I haven't actually tried. But when I go up to my library, it's got Fishbang's games, and I can... Huh. It's got 5. It's got 5 of them right there. But I can't look at his library and download from him.
Strange.
Which is weird, and I don't know why. I've got those installed. New Blood is in there, and so I might fire that up just to see if it actually works. Mm-hmm. And see how that goes. So that's all for you?
Yeah. Yep. Just waiting for my 2 games next month.
What were they going to be? Oh, Abduction and...
We Happy.
We Happy Few, yeah. Because I'm thinking next month, the one I'm thinking of, I keep forgetting about Abduction.
How can you forget about Abduction?
They're not really doing anything to remind me.
True. Which I did. You watch some of that gameplay from PAX or not PAX, but whatever the most recent
GDC?
Convention? Yeah.
No,
it was
I didn't.
Off-camera gameplay.
Yeah, I didn't watch that. No, I'm probably going to be a purist on this. I'll probably watch whatever they officially release. But off-camera gameplay, I'll probably stay away from because
I
don't. I
just
know,
watched a few.
I don't know what it could
it.
Be showing off. I don't know what it could be spoiling or anything like that. So.
It was just a mountain.
Okay.
Nothing.
Yeah. But yeah, it would seem with it getting a release in June, and I'm not so sure that that's going to happen. But you would think you'd be hearing a little bit more gearing up on it, you know, like maybe some of the backers would be getting their stuff or be getting updates. Like, okay, in a couple of weeks, we're going to be sending out the box copies that everybody got, or that's whatever true. The case may be, and nothing's coming in yet. Or, like, little things saying, hey, we're getting ready to start counting down the days until our release. To at least to the backers, they haven't sent us anything on that, as far as this is a Kickstarter thing. For those who are wondering, Abduction, game made by Cyan Worlds, who are the guys who made Myst and Riven. And that was something that was done a couple of years back. We actually had Rand Miller on the show and got to talk to him and about this, and it's getting a release here pretty soon. Supposed to be getting a release. James has been playing Doom. I'd love him to be here and tell us about his experience with that. I mean, he's saying it in the thing. It's a cleansing fire, stripped of everything that was horrible and is just really, really great. And I am totally not using his words verbatim on that because I can't. But yeah, it's a game I want to play. Doom is one I do actually want to get into. I got a review code for Not a Hero on the Xbox console. The game's already out on PC. It's one of those games I played that's done by Devolver Digital, a little indie title. And I think now that I'm done with Uncharted, I will be jumping into that, and probably I'll go back into Stories, play some of that, because there's so many different endings to get out of that thing, and it's a real quick jump into it. Game that I'm not getting back into, obviously, is Destiny.
What's that?
Yeah, I know. It's this little indie thing. You don't like indie games, I know.
Sounds familiar.
I know.
I think Degenerate knows something about it. I think he played it. Yeah.
It's my first MMO, and not even that.
It's not an MMO.
It's my first.
Please do not call that game an MMO.
It has been called that.
Not an MMO.
It has been. Is it? Am I thinking it's been called MMO? No. What has it been called? That's not MMO.
I mean, that's what they tried to go for.
Maybe that is what I'm thinking then.
No, they tried to go for an MMO.
They did. And I think in some
you played halls, City of Heroes. That's an MMO.
That's an MMO. Yeah.
Why'd you say that's your first MMO?
No. Like my first Easy Bake Oven or something. You know, it's a term.
Okay, I gotcha.
But it doesn't even offer an introduction to that. It's just to even MMO mechanics. It's stupid that it was ever tried to market it that way, and to be that way. So.
Well, that's a whole other stuff. Anyways, what were you saying?
Yeah. I don't know where I was going with this. Destiny is just a game I'm not going back to.
Okay.
Even with all the things that they're doing with it, I just really haven't had the desire to jump back in and commit to that. I don't know that I ever will. I know there was some stuff leaked recently about what their next update is going to be, and I didn't really look into that. Again, this is how far I've kind of stepped away from it, is that here's a new update, and I don't even want
to... Wasn't an update.
Yeah, I don't even want to look over the additions or what it's bringing to the table.
I gotcha.
It's been months since I've loaded that up anyway.
I know, man. Just no desire to go back to it. So
we did everything.
Everything up until that point, yeah.
There's still nothing else to do.
There's been no story updates in that thing at all.
No, there hasn't been. There's been, I think, a new strike. There's been a light level cap increase. Yeah.
Although I don't know why, but I watched someone solo Works last night.
Like, yeah, I saw that. I heard about that. Hard mode solo.
Which, I mean, me and you could go do that. It's so simple.
Well, then we wouldn't be soloing.
Well, no, I'm saying, like,
like
with
ourselves.
Our gear,
yeah.
All you need is what was the max? 320?
Oh, the new max?
Well, what was the old max?
The old max was 320.
Yeah. All you needed was a 320. What was the
spindle?
No, the other one. You, like, charged Malice? It up. No, you charged it up.
A gun?
Yeah. It was the one that came from that, like,
Was it a fusion rifle that you charge up?
It was, like, a fusion rifle, yeah.
Yeah.
What was that one called? Sleeper or stimulant?
Oh, that one!
Yeah. That's the only gun you need, and then just another gun. That's all
really?
You need, those two things. And you gotta be a warlock.
Well, lucky for me, that was my main.
You just have to self-res. But you can pop all four ogres by yourself
with just the sleeper. Yeah, that was a bad guy,
because all you did was you snipe them all down until they have a little bit of health. Mm-hmm. And then you pop orcs so he doesn't clap, and then you jump into the middle and line them all up and shoot them, and it goes through all of them, and then you run into
that's right, because it, yeah,
and then once they all pop, then you die, but you'll just self-res, and then you just do that four times.
Huh.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, I should watch that, actually.
And I'm still amazed that we struggled for so long to kill him.
There were some instances, and this goes to, well, this goes again to the laughability of them trying to market it as an MMO. This goes to the fact of the trying to find people to play with situation.
You don't need to solo it.
Well, yeah. But yeah, trying to find a crew to, and then when you do find some pickup group to play with, you've got to get.
I was always successful in finding.
No, I mean,
it was a pain, but
you might have been always successful when you and I tried it. That we ran into some groups now and again.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
That was painful.
Wasn't it?
We were playing to when the Australians were coming off.
Yeah, I know. We've got to finish this.
We just got off of work.
Oh, it's Australians coming in now. It's like 4 in the morning here. Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, so, no. What else? I saw where Talos Principle 2
yes.
was announced, apparently.
Sort of. It's like an unofficial announcement.
Yeah, I mean, it's coming from someone with authority to say this, but it's not necessarily an official reveal or an official announcement. Odd. So it's sort of just a thing of like, yeah, we're going to do it, but we haven't made an official announcement yet.
Which to me, that means nothing to me. I don't want someone that's sort of official to announce. Like, I'll wait until it's actually announced.
I got somebody I could probably reach out and see.
I'm just saying, like, I'll wait until.
Yeah. And then Pillars of Eternity 2 actually existing as well.
I haven't played the first one yet, so.
Do you have the first one?
I don't.
Okay. Yeah. I put in more time in that thing than I ever thought I would. I did not seem like a game that was going to be up my alley, and I.
Talos?
No, Pillars of Eternity 2.
Oh, no, I'm talking about Talos Principles.
Oh. Sorry. I'd moved on.
I see that.
In the span of time that you took to drink whatever it was you were drinking.
Water.
Sure.
Water. It's water.
No. Pillars of Eternity 2 is actually in development, I guess, or exists. That's something we found out. And I spent more time in that game than I thought I would. It did not seem like a game that was for me, but I took a chance with it because the hype surrounding it. I say the hype, whatever. Message boards and people talking about it and seeing it here and there, and you sort of the zeitgeist gets to you a little bit whenever so many people are talking about one thing. It's like, maybe I should check it out. And so I did, and yeah, it was worth checking out. I haven't really played much of it since I put time into it, but I was very happy with what I did play. So we are coming up on another break, and when we come back, I'll talk a little bit about the whole Arkham collection that they're doing the release with. I mean, there's a little bit of a rant there for what they're doing with that, sort of, and you know, justified or not, I'm a little annoyed by it, but... We'll talk about that when we come back with more of In-Game Chat. And we'll talk about anything you want to talk about. If you want to give us a call, 334-272-9228 is the number, 334-272-9228. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat here in just a moment. We'll be right back. And welcome back to In-Game Chats. I'm Scott. We've got RJ and Nate hanging out here. Matt not with us this week, but should be back next week as well. Let's see who's in the chat room. I'm going to do a chat room roll call. I haven't done in a while. We've got Lavos in there. James hanging out in the chat room as well. And let's see. AC Wraith. D. Hominis. Drunk Degenerates. JD Monmao. I hope I said that right. Probably not. Lesser Weevil. Multile in there. Nuclear Fire. STM Fuller. Tactus 59. The Wuzman Returns. Uncle Elias. And Varulia. Hanging out in the chat room. Thanks, everybody, for joining us in the chat room. If you want to join us in the chat room any time we're broadcasting, just go to twitch.tv and on your browser there. Up at the top, you'll see a box. You can type in our name, In-Game Chat, search for us. You can find us, watch the show live while we broadcast, and join in the chat room and chat with everybody else who's hanging out in there. So, So the Arkham releases. We kind of heard that they were probably doing this.
They kind of leaked about it, what, 2 months ago?
Yeah, and honestly, this is something that... See, if... I hate talking about Arkham Knight.
And fine for me.
Yeah, I know. I hate talking about Arkham Knight. So...
Which I saw I could pick up. Like, I kept my... I traded in the game, but I kept my everything else, just because I was like, I'll pick the game up again eventually if I ever wanted.
What was
it.
Everything else? Did you get the collector's edition? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
But like I kept, because they gave you two cases, like the standard plastic case and your steelbook.
And the steelbook.
So yeah. I kept the steelbook, but then traded it all in.
Yeah.
For like 30-something bucks. But anyways, I saw it was on sale at Best Buy. Like $12.
Like STM Fuller's like the Arkham Collection minus the PC remaster release. I don't want them to put a Batman game on a PC anymore. Unless it's... I put it this way. I don't want them to put a Rocksteady Batman game on PC anymore. Let them stay away from that sort of thing. That's fine. I can play it on my consoles. If they want to port it over and do a good port with it, sure. But I don't ever want them to do it under pressure of release ever again so they can meet the needs of the console people and everything else. Going back to what I was originally going to say was that... To give development more time on Arkham Knight, they could have... They released Arkham Origins in... What year did this come out? It came out in 2015. It was supposed to be out in 2014. So they released Arkham Origins in 2013, I want to say. November, October release of 2013 was when it came out. And are you looking that up right now, RJ?
Yeah, I'm looking
October
right
25th.
Of 2013? Okay, so I was right. Because in 2014, Halloween, you were supposed to get Arkham Knight, but it got delayed into 2015. So we had a year where we didn't have a Batman title. Well, hello, you're doing a remaster of your Rocksteady titles. Why not use that as your release and let them work on development of Arkham Knight further and do what they've got to do? Why not use that as your gap... gap filler for a Batman release. Releasing it after Arkham Knight, I think, takes away the attention. Or it's not on the momentum that it had for the release of Arkham Knight. You could have teased it. You could have packed in a demo on these remaster collections for Arkham Knight. Or some kind of key to get into a beta or I don't know. Just something that could have helped sales of this and would have kept the momentum going for the release of Arkham Knight. Arkham Knight didn't have slow momentum in its release, but you could have done something to keep it better with, you know, what they were trying to do, and kept people talking about it, top of mind, that sort of thing, rather than people getting worried that this thing keeps getting delayed and oh God, what's going to happen now?
Yeah.
I don't care that it's not getting a PC release on this. So that's my gripe with why they're doing this now. It's after Arkham Knight, Arkham Knight is a fitting end to the whole trilogy of what Rocksteady did. There's not a lot of demand to go back into those games because they've kind of finished it out. It would have been nice. A lot of people like to go back to the previous games before the next one's released. So releasing it before then would have seemed to have made more sense to do that. That's my first gripe. My second one is obviously the lack of Arkham Origins. They're calling it, what's the name of the title? It's Return to Arkham, I think. The Return to Arkham Collection.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's not. It's the Rocksteady Collection. Why don't you just call it the Rocksteady Collection? I realize Arkham is a nice little buzzword that's going to get you a lot of people turning their heads and saying, okay, it's Batman, let's play it, you know, again. But no, it's the Rocksteady Collection. And I'm not sure if you're releasing this as a money grab or if you're releasing this as a contractual obligation. I'm curious. Or if it's a little bit of both. That you have another title that you have to release or something that you have to release with Rocksteady, and this is what they're doing because they're not going to make another Batman game, and this gets them out of a contract or this gets Warner Brothers out of something. I think they own Rocksteady, so I don't even know if it matters. But not including Origins, that really annoys me. Maybe because they're still calling it a Return to Arkham thing. I don't know if that's the annoyance or if it's just that so many people overlooked that title because it didn't have Rocksteady's name on it. And it's a shame. Because they missed out on a pretty good Batman game. Mm-hmm. You played it, right?
Yeah,
I played it. They missed out on a really good Batman game. Something that decided that did not have... it did not have... I mean, it had the assets that Rocksteady was working with, but it didn't have the people. You know, it didn't have those people doing it, and everybody immediately wrote it off, and it didn't help whenever they announced the voice actors not being Hamill and not being Kevin Conroy, where other people said, okay, well, even that, so it's not the same developer, it's not the same voice actors, I don't want to play it. But you really missed out. And it was buggy at first on PC, I agree. I think it was buggy on consoles as well. It was...
My friend played it, I watched him.
Huh?
Arkham Knight?
No, Arkham Origins.
Okay, Origins.
It had some bugs on console, and it had some bad bugs on PC.
Hmm.
One that I ran into as well, where you could not advance the story.
Yeah.
And that's a bad bug to have, but they fixed it. You know, they went back and they fixed it, and if you're going to do this release, you could go ahead and fix it as well, or use the fixed version. It's not... That stigma is fine. I think the stigma of it being buggy does not hold against it anymore. I think what everybody holds against it is that it's not Rocksteady. It's not part of the Arkham trilogy. And I think that's a horrible way to go about it because the story in it was good. The acting in it, the voice acting in it was good. The combat I enjoyed much more than I did in the previous Arkham games that I had played up until then. I played more combat challenge rooms in Arkham Origins than I had in the previous two games. What else? The boss fights were better. Because they felt like fights. I mean, there were some quick time issues when you were fighting Deadshot. No, not Deadshot. Jesus, why am I'm having such a hard time with names. Deathstroke. there was some QTE events with Deathstroke, but it still felt like a fight, man. It really felt like a fight. Who were the other ones? Copperhead, I think, was one that I did not really enjoy. That was the only boss fight I think that I didn't enjoy was Copperhead. I'm trying to think of some of the others. Deadshot was one that you had to fight, and that was a good one. That was a good way of fighting that, of doing that boss fight. Because it puts you, it was a lot like the boss fight from Arkham City with Mr. Freeze. It was a Predator boss fight where you were doing sneaky sneak.
Mm-hmm.
And you couldn't do the same maneuver twice on him. So if you use some kind of gadget or whatever, he dismantled it for the next time so that you wouldn't have to use it. And so I liked how they did that in Arkham City. And they sort of brought that back when you were doing Deadshot because it was a Predator situation where you had a hostage and you had this guy who could shoot you easily. And you had to sneak up on him and do these things and really had to figure out vary your attack method on him.
Sort of piggybacking off of that, EA did their... Was it last week or the week prior? I think it was this last week, about when they talked about how Battlefront, you know, that they had just released it off of the game wasn't complete. Just like... that's why they had no single player or anything. It was just the multiplayer. And they were just trying to jump off of the momentum of The Force Awakens coming out.
Right.
Unless it wasn't, they purposely didn't release it with a campaign just so they could do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what everyone knew, but it still just makes me like, ugh.
Honestly, you know, we may have talked about this, them having contractual obligations to get it out before the thing, because they had DLC in place that directly tied into the film.
Only one. And it was just one planet.
Yeah.
That was it. But it was barely anything.
I'm sure the release of it was barely anything that justified it.
Oh, yeah.
But they probably had something in place to where we've got to release this because it's like a pre-thing to the movie, the Battle of Jakku. They had to release that before the film came out because then you could see the aftermath of it and they had to get it out there before it was done. But in order to get the DLC out, we have to have the game out. And so they had these deadlines they had to meet. Deadlines, man. They're good and they're bad, you know? You get a deadline means we've got to get it at this point. We've got to make that happen. But at the same time, the double-edged sword of that is that you've got to do this, and so you'll take shortcuts to get there that are bad.
Yeah.
And then the shortcuts you do make, you end up having to go and patch through afterwards.
Or just completely remove content.
Exactly.
But still charge $120. For the game and the battle pass crap.
Oh God! Yeah, I did not get Battlefront. I did not buy it.
I didn't either.
You know, we did. I think we did a rental on it.
But me and James, we've talked about it. The moment that they put Battlefront on the EA Access, the $5 thing a month, we'll subscribe to that.
Yeah.
But we're just waiting for them to put it on because I know they'll put it on there.
By the time 2 hits.
Yeah, and I mean even then that's still fine.
Which is probably going to have some kind of contractual obligation to release before episode 8.
Probably.
Yeah.
But they still had longer time. Because they've been working on that too before 1 was done.
That's true. But yeah, the Batman thing, man, not putting... I don't understand how they could have just left Origins out, other than this being something where they had something that they wanted to do with Rocksteady. I don't think Warner Brothers looks at Origins as a bad thing. They had one of their in-house studios do it, Warner Brothers Games Montreal, work on it. It got through the prison city trope that that Rocksteady uses every single time, where some way it's walled off or something like that. I mean, they still had to do it where it's like, oh, it's a blizzard, so everybody is confined indoors. Except for like the thugs and the thieves and things like that. I love the setting that it took place on Christmas Eve. That was wonderful. It took place in one night. It's just good things all around with Origins, and I hate that it was excluded from this. I'm hoping that they pull a Halo collection like they did with ODST. And enough people were like, where's ODST? Where we want our ODST? And they're like, okay, fine. If you bought it between this period of time, you get it free. Otherwise, it's $5. You know, whatever the price is.
Yeah.
And so Arkham Origins, same thing. Hey, you know what? You bought it in between here. Here you go. It's backwards compatible. Now everybody has it, and you can play it. Maybe they won't remaster it. I don't know what the situation is or why they went about not including it. I'm really curious as to why that is. You could have called it the Rocksteady Collection, the Rocksteady Arkham Collection or something. The Arkham Rocksteady Years or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Something to identify that you're not getting Origins in this. But yeah, so that's just a personal gripe with me because I really loved Origins. I really did. So whatever. Is that something that you played Arkham, you played all the Batman games, right?
I didn't play Origins, but that was because my friend bought it and I went to his house almost every night and I watched him play through the whole thing. So I never needed to buy it, but I played.
You played Asylum and you played City.
Both on PC.
Okay, yeah.
I never played them on. The only thing I played on PS4, thankfully, was Arkham Knight.
Yeah. You lucked out on that one.
Yep.
So. And RJ, you've played them all. I guess the remasters are probably not something that you would ever...
No, I've already got them.
...consider because you already... Yeah, exactly.
I have the remasters on PC, so...
Yeah. And they come with everything. Just like these remasters are talking about, you get all the DLC included. We did that on PC earlier.
Nothing new to us.
It's not. And plus, I get to use my NVIDIA PhysX that they tout every time the Batman. Except they tried to tout it with Arkham Knight. There's a video out there, or at least
out there.
Yeah, something that was there showing you this stuff, but did not.
Do you want to pick them?
Did not get as good. Yeah, I'll grab it. Let me have to put on these headphones where I can't hear myself talk. But we'll go right to the phones. Hey, you're on in-game chat. Who's this?
It's Moltile from the chat.
Hey! Thanks for calling in, man. How's it going?
It's going very well so far. How are you guys getting on?
We're doing good. We got about 10 minutes of the show left, so what's on your mind?
Well, no, I was just thinking about the, you know, everything that's coming out at the moment. We seem to be at a bit of a, well, it doesn't seem like a lull when you look at the, you know, the actual release, you know, the release schedule of everything, but there's so many like small like little games that are being re-released everywhere that it seems to be the big one. Well, especially for me anyway, is Overwatch, and then everything else doesn't seem to be that big. But so like at this point, what are you guys hoping to play really soon?
What are we hoping to play really soon? Mirror's Edge, I guess, because I know it's coming out, but I guess Mirror's Edge would be... I mean, I hope to play Doom very soon, if I can get...
Get the link sorted, yeah.
Yeah, if we can do that, I hope to play Doom very soon, but just looking into the next newly released titles, I would like to... I'm looking at Mirror's Edge for me. Mm-hmm. Mirror's Edge Catalyst. What about you, Nate?
Just the Kickstarter games.
The two games, yeah.
I know for sure that We Happy Few's coming out, because... they have been sending emails out of keeping everyone updated of the stuff. So I know for sure that one's coming out. So if nothing else, that. And then maybe, honestly, the next thing for me would just possibly be Legion. I was going to get Overwatch, and then I decided not to. I think I'm just going to wait a little bit on that one.
Mm-hmm.
But I loved Overwatch, and it was a fun game, so...
Well, Nate, that's something I should definitely add you on, because I was totally convinced by the beta, had no interest in it, and then completely convinced. But I guess I'll ring back about that at some point. But what about thing on your thing? But is it just Dark Souls 3?
Well, I did buy Battleborn, so eventually I'll get start playing that. And upcoming is Guilty Gear XR Revelator. That should be early June. Also,
all right, okay.
Still looking for Mighty Number 9. They say late June, but I'll just keep an eye on that. And another fighting game later on is going to be King of Fighters 14. I think that's August.
Alrighty, okay.
Yeah, but those three I can think of that I'm looking forward to purchasing and playing later on.
Yeah, very good. No, it's actually something that Drunk Degenerates brought up that I was just going to say that. Is anyone actually going to pick up Total War Warhammer? The last one that I played was Total War Rome 2, and I felt like I got burned on it. That was the last game that I actually picked up by doing a pre-order and, you know, trying to get the stuff early and then downloading it early on Steam and then playing it straight away, and it was buggy to no end, and I was not pleased with it at all. But is there anyone else that's actually going to be doing any sort of Total War RTS Warhammer stuff, or?
Nah, probably not.
Yeah, the last RTS that I played was Age of Empires 2.
Oh, it's a good one, though. It's a very good one.
Yeah.
It's the last one I could get into.
Yeah, nothing here on my end, anyway, and I don't think on RJ's either, so.
Well, you know, if I know a couple of mates that are considering it, so if they do pick it up, I'll certainly... have at it, and hopefully I'll give you a rundown, see whether
we would love to hear it, man. We really, really would. So thank you for calling, man. We got to run. We got to talk about GTA.
Oh, not a problem. I know you've got a few minutes left.
Yeah. Enjoy your night. So thanks so much, and we'll talk to you later. Thanks for calling in.
See you later. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Take care.
All right. Before we go, I got to take these off. I swear, it sounds like I'm in a can or across the wall talking to you guys. GT South, was hoping to have them call in, but just so you guys know, GT South, local gaming tavern here for you if you are in the Montgomery area. They're located just across the street from Stivers Ford. And tonight is cosplay karaoke night. So check that out. You'll have plenty of people in cosplay, hopefully singing songs that are somewhat relatable to the costume they're wearing. But even if it's not, They encourage you to get out there and sing anyway. Also, tomorrow night, they're going to do their Game of Thrones thing. In fact, and you sent me something on this, I believe. Did you not, Nate?
I believe so.
Yes. Mm-hmm. They are starting on the 29th of May. They will be open on Sundays regularly, and they will be closing on Tuesdays. And Sundays, of course, are their Game of Thrones night, so they'll be doing that this week as well. And don't forget, they're open for lunch this week, Tuesday through Friday, I think. And then it'll switch from that and be Wednesday through Friday. They'll be open for lunch, so make sure you take advantage of that. They do have great food. They got great drinks. You can go out there and play video games while you're having a great time. Karaoke, all sorts of theme nights that they do as well. I think next Saturday is, what's next Saturday? Rubber Band Night?
Yes. It's Rubber Band War.
Rubber Band War.
Yeah.
So obviously get your rubber band guns and, those are going to hurt.
More than the Nerf wars they have out there.
I don't rubber bands though, man.
A Nerf to the cheek, Nerf.
I suppose depending, yeah. I mean, I saw how fast those things were going.
You take thumbtacks and you stick them through the rubber band.
Oh, I'm just kidding. Yikes! This is where, yeah, we're gonna Mick Foley the whole thing.
Yeah.
So.
What was it? Hell in a Cell.
Yeah. That's an interesting theme night they could do. Something based on a wrestling trope. That'd be interesting.
My God, he killed him.
Foreign object night. Mm-hmm. Bring steel chair.
Oh, that's a horrible
idea. Yeah, well, you know what that's old wrestling term.
I know it is.
Now it's like, oh, he's got a steel chair, he's got a baseball bat. Used to be, oh, he's got to hit him with a foreign object. It was clear what that was. No, it's a trash can. He hit him with a steel chair, a foreign object.
Yep.
It was all
he's
with.
Killed him, JR.
Yeah. God's my witness, he's broken in half. That man's got a family. If you've ever, you need to look it up. I know we got a few minutes here. Look up the game commentary, JR game commentary. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
You should
look that up. It is hilarious.
Them. They're so funny.
Yes.
It's funny when people just put that commentary to random, like,
oh,
fails
to anything.
And stuff.
It goes with anything.
Everything.
And it works so perfectly. So, yeah.
WWE commentary on video games.
Did you happen to go out to GG South on Thursday or
no,
anything? Okay, I'm curious what their tournament was that night. But yeah, Thursday night they've always got their random game tournament. You never know what it's going to be. And then on Friday, usually a theme night there for you, and then Saturday theme nights. And then Sunday, of course, Game of Thrones or Walking Dead or whatever that Sunday happens to be. They're catching a lot of that now, so that actually works out for them. So make sure you check them out. Find them on Facebook. And you can get all the info there that you need to know, where they're located precisely, phone number to call them or anything like that. Any kind of questions you might have, look them up on Facebook, GT South. So that is going to end things for us, and I appreciate everybody for listening. Thank you for joining us in the chat room and listening on the radio as well. Thanks to everybody who grabs us each week from iTunes or however you get our show for later use. We do really appreciate it. Head on over to ingamechat.net. You can join us on Twitter, Facebook, our forums at colonyofgamers.com. Subscribe to our YouTube channel and our Twitch channel that you're watching right now. And if you're on Steam, we've got a Steam group you can join up with over there and play games with us and other listeners. So thanks, everybody. We really, really appreciate it. You guys have a great week. We will see you next Saturday. Here is music from Command & Conquer. Have a good one.